Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
Hi, everyone. This is Lloyd, and I've actually been out of town for a few weeks and out of the loop when it comes to news and television and things like that. Only a tiny bit of information over social media has trickled in, but I thought this would be a great time maybe to sit down and address things as I kind of see them, as I feel like the Lord's been encouraging me and communicating to me about events. And some of them are actually not that encouraging, but to know what's going on and what's going on behind the scenes is also good to know, that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but also that we would be connected to what God is saying and what he's doing also, so we can join with those things. And certainly we do join with the Lord when we stand up against evil and stand up against the strategies of the enemy. At any rate, I just thought I'd sit down and share a few things, and we'll see when I get back in the swing of information how they stack up. But anyway, it's good to get with the Lord and hear from him and then pass those things on, I think, sometimes. Certainly, as we're different places in the country and everything, you know, different thing with the masks. Most places, well, some places really are taking it serious, and especially where there's a lot of fear, you see that. But then other places, it's kind of like people are doing it to get along and just doing the minimum. I got to thinking about how we would be if the government said you had to put on a burqa or a face covering, and we would riot and revolt against that, especially the ladies, I would hope. But when they say, well, you have to do it for scientific reasons, which, of course, the reasons aren't scientific, but they're saying that, and they have this invisible virus that they're blaming it on. And, of course, a lot of people are saying there's no viral exception to the Constitution. But it's interesting to watch that, what's going on, and then from my own perspective to consider how different it would be if they were saying the same things but for different reasons. If they were saying you needed to do it for political reasons, which they often describe as religious, but Sharia is political. At any rate, we might have a totally different response to it. Just some thoughts. But, you know, I've had different people speaking to me and asking me my thoughts on timing of the rapture. Well, that's always a good thing to think about, and we can always hope that it might be today. I don't really believe that's going to be the case, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't even expect it in this generation. But I do believe we need to change our mindset to a wartime mindset. Honestly, we need to think things through. We need to see things in light of that way. We need to, I think, adjust our mindset to perhaps how our parents did, or grandparents, depending on your age, but in the World War II time, how they adjusted their mindset, and their actions, and their planning ahead in light of the war that we were engaged in as a nation. Or you could even go back even further to our great-great-grandparents or great-great-great-grandparents in the Civil War and the mindset and how that affected their choices and so on. Because we are certainly in the midst of a global war of sorts, and the focus in many respects is on the United States and a spiritual laser beam down to the election coming up in November. And there's so much focused on that, and even international forces trying to influence that. And whereas certain people and parties are trying to bring up Russian influence again into our election process, totally ignoring the actual influence of the various tech companies and the communist Chinese that are highly motivated and involved in this election. The globalists are seriously concerned and putting very much effort into trying to topple Donald Trump and what he represents in light of the authority and the power behind the United States of America. You know, people don't know our history. This globalist force has been going on, you know, off and on since Babel. But in more modern times, at the time of our Civil War, the Rothschilds' globalist ideals working through the governments of England and France at the time were motivated to help dissolve the United States as a union, to break it up into smaller parts, whether it be two parts or more. And they were involved in especially fomenting some of the violence leading up to the Civil War and beyond the beginning of it at Fort Sumter. And people don't realize this, but it was actually the Tsar of Russia who threatened both the British and the French governments that if they were to get involved in the U.S. Civil War on either side, that he would invade whichever country or both that got involved. And that they took it very seriously, and they did not get involved beyond what was called advisory. I think they did sell arms to both sides, but in the case of the South, the North blockaded the ports, so very few arms were getting through, but they were not able to declare themselves an ally to either side, which it would have been the South that they would have allied themselves with in order to help break up the Union, because the Union was a threat to the globalist agenda even back that far, and certainly it has proven to be since that day, since Lee surrendered at Appomattox, and the United States has continued to be a thorn in the flesh of the globalist. Not that we don't have globalists influencing our country through our own elected representatives, but as a whole, the globalists have not been able to achieve their agenda in big part because of the United States of America standing against it. Isn't that wonderful? Well, anyway, back to the mindset. We need to have a mindset, I think, of the war that we're in. And it's a spiritual war, but obviously it's spilling out of the spirit into the natural. The president has actually talked about revolution, meaning that we're dealing with revolutionaries and we're dealing with revolution. Now, for him to say that obviously proves he's not politically correct, but he's speaking the truth. And he's trying to get the message out to the American public without scaring everybody that you need to take these things seriously, that we are actually dealing with a Marxist revolution attempt. Just because it's a revolution doesn't mean it's going to be successful, but a turnover is what revolution means. And obviously this, the Marxists are not hiding their true nature. In reality, they've been forced to not hide their true nature. And the Democrat Party is no longer able to hide their Marxist and socialist intentions and their war against the United States and our freedoms. It's actually a good thing that these things are being revealed, but it's not a good thing that they exist. The left is calling this a civil war. And for them, it's a civil war, meaning one party wanted to take over the rule of that particular nation. Both Vice President Biden and Michelle Obama in her address at the Democratic National Convention both let out veiled threats to the United States that if Donald Trump wins re-election, that the violence is going to get worse. You know, you can look it up for yourself, but they both have said that. Others in the Democratic Party have said that. But in reality, they've been saying it in other ways for quite some time now. And they've been actually doing it since he was elected in 2016. They have attempted one form or another to overthrow this government with one coup after another. And it's amazing to me that no one has gone to jail yet. Again, I point out that life isn't fair, but God is just. And even to go back and requote, or in this case, paraphrase Thomas Jefferson, that because God is just, I shudder to think what's going to happen if justice is delayed much longer for those. Anyway, so I'm praying for A.G. Barr and some of those guys because we need to see justice. I'm praying for the justices and our justice system. We've actually been seeing justice, especially when it comes to the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. We're actually seeing justice at times play out in our courts. It's pretty remarkable. But at the Supreme Court, it's been back and forth, and a big part is because of the corruption of the Chief Justice Roberts. And we really need to pray. Won't go into it again, but I've posted it on my website and I've shared it in the past, the dream I had a while back about Justice Roberts and the word that I gave him in the Oval Office in that dream. But anyway, we can listen to their threats and take their threats serious in the sense of that they mean what they say. On the other hand, we should not give in to their threats. You know, Benjamin Franklin famously said that those that give up eternal liberty for temporary safety deserve neither. And that's what the Democrats Party is threatening, to give you temporary safety if you'll give up your liberty. And it's not going to happen. I don't believe that the American people as a whole are going to do that. But there's certainly a tug of war going on right now, and a spiritual war. Now, to understand this spiritual war a little better, I think we can explain some of the things this way. Look at your local and state governments, the leaders in those places, especially the Democratic Party, but also the weak Republican leaders, and you're going to see the spirit of Diotrephes. That spirit that John wrote is the spirit that desires preeminence and will do whatever it takes to attain that preeminence and to hold on to that preeminence, that power, to be the number one. And they're obviously abusing the powers of the emergency powers that were delegated to chief executives, and in some cases then delegated down to the health departments. They're abusing those things way beyond what legislatures originally gave them in light of state of emergency. State of emergency is meant for an immediate situation for the leader to step in and to make immediate situations until the legislature could be convened and to continue on. And so what they have done is they've usurped the authority through the threat of the virus and then usurped that authority and continued to mandate draconian totalitarian rulings, which are outrageous. And yet it's amazing, like for instance, thinking of what happened months ago in Michigan, where you had the average folks saying enough is enough with these lockdowns. A lot of them were business owners, but a lot of the people worked for business owners, and they marched on legally on their capital. Most of them just drove through with their windows down, honking their horns, but a lot of them marched also and into their capital, which they have a right to do. And they, amazingly, the spirit of Diotrephes through the governor there called them domestic terrorists. And yet weeks later, when the rioting and the burning and the pillaging and the looting and the stealing and the murdering began in Minneapolis and then went out from there, they called them mostly peaceful protesters. Now, it's interesting that the First Amendment, not only does it protect freedom of speech and the press and religion, which they have, the people on the left, have abridged. Freedom of religion, you can't meet in a church. I'm in Nevada right now where you still can't meet in a church. But now, to get around the unconstitutional rulings of the Supreme Court, they are meeting in the casinos, which you can have open. Makes no sense at all. But the church is the people, not the building, so they have adapted to the meeting place. However, that's wrong, it's unconstitutional, and it's the power of the left attacking and trying to drain the resources of those that want to stand up for what's right. Well, anyway, that spirit of diatrophies, especially at the local and state government levels where you have executive positions and, like I said, also health department positions many times are utilizing or working through what the Bible would describe as a spirit of diatrophies. Now, at the party level, you see the Democratic Party and their function, you can look at Jezebel of the Old Testament and of the book of Revelation. The spirit of Jezebel, the spirit that functions through that queen who was a witch, she worked with witchcraft, she worked with the prophets of Baal and the priests of Ashtaroth. She was in, you know, the whole abortion industry, the whole Planned Parenthood thing is a force behind that, and the Moloch and Baal and all that as a great power behind the Democratic Party in a spiritual sense. And Jezebel, the spirit, desires to attack and to steal the inheritance of innocent people. Will use whatever means necessary to steal that inheritance and to take that inheritance. And you see that functioning, and if you'll pay attention to what the Democratic Party and how it is functioning, I should call it the Democrat Party, not the Democratic, because it's not Democratic, but at any rate, the Democrat Party and how they function, you'll see this very strong spirit of Jezebel functioning through them. Now, you see this spirit functioning in Washington, D.C. For years and in many effects because of the parties that are there. Now, the Republican Party, on the other hand, if you want to understand as a whole how they've been functioning, the spirit of Ahab. Now, that's not to mean all Republicans, because there's the Freedom Caucus, and there are many that are standing up for what's right, both spiritually speaking as well as constitutional. But Ahab was the king that was joined with Jezebel, and she would function her power through his authority that he had. When possible, she didn't want to be the center of attention. She just wanted to be the ruler. She didn't want to necessarily be noticed as the ruler. She just wanted to rule with the power so she could do what she wanted and was happy to do it from behind the scenes if necessary. But Ahab, you know, he's a pretty nice guy when you got him away from her. But on the other hand, he would let her do her destruction and murder and stealing and pillaging as long as he was getting what he wanted, as long as he got the benefit of it and wasn't the direct attack of criticism. And you see that with the Republican Party, that they're weak-kneed, they're spineless in many respects as a party, but not, I don't want you to paint everybody with one brush, but just to understand the way they're functioning, they would have a stronger back if you could break them away from the spirit of Jezebel. But it would be much better if they would just grow a spine and be mighty men of valor and women of valor. But by the way, many of the women have more spine than some of the men in our society and in our elected officials. But at any rate, that helps you, I think, focus a little bit what's going on. Ahab, you know, was a nice guy when he was away from Jezebel, but he was worthless when it came to war. He wouldn't stand up. He couldn't win. Put it this way, and if you were joined with him, you were going to lose along his side. And the Republican Party has been a disappointment time and time and time again. And even when they are given a power and authority by the people over all three branches of government, because of the quote rhinos, meaning Republican and name only, haven't done anything with the authority, or very little with the authority. Hopefully, that will change when we put in more conservative Christians, conservative people with spines and backbones, and that could hopefully, and I pray, will happen in this coming election, but I don't know for sure. Speaking of the Democratic Party, confusion is their ally. I don't believe that they believe they can win this upcoming election at the presidential level, or at the Senate level, which they're trying very hard, and maybe not even at the House level. Now, I've heard very few people bring up about taking back the House by the Republicans. The one person I've heard mention it is the president. He's the only one that seems to be taking it seriously, trying to take back the House, that it's possible and hopefully will happen. He also is the only one that seems to be taking seriously fraud. Like I said, confusion is the ally of the left. They don't believe that they can legitimately win back the White House, so they're trying to do it in any means necessary. But they've been trying to do that and to hinder it since the last presidential election. At any rate, when it comes to this election, if you remember the 2000 election with what happened in Florida with the little hanging chads and how ridiculous that was, because they counted the election. George W. Bush won the election. Then they said, well, no, he didn't win the election. We're going to recount it. And they recounted it. And he won again, but with fewer votes. And they recounted again. And they won again. And he won again with fewer votes. And it had to be the Supreme Court that stepped in. And if I remember right, it was unanimous. But anyway, they stepped in and stopped the recounting of the recounting, because he had already won three times. But their goal was to, once Al Gore won once, then they stopped the counting. Well, that's their whole thing now with the forced mail-in ballots, is to count and to recount and to recount and bring confusion in, because where there's confusion, there's every evil work. Now, they don't even have to win those recounts, but just to keep recounting, because the way our system is, that if January 20th should come and we still don't have a declared winner for the president, then the Speaker of the House automatically becomes president. Currently, the Speaker of the House is Nancy Pelosi. I haven't heard anybody else bring this up, but that's the Constitution. If we don't have a clear winner, then it goes to the Speaker of the House. Now, Congress will be sworn in before the president's sworn in, because the president is January 20th, but Congress is before that. If the House should switch over to the Republicans, then there would be a different Speaker of the House, and it would be a Republican sworn in as president, and it's doubtful that person would retain their presidency. They would probably declare Donald Trump as their vice president and then resign and go back to the House. But anyway, the point is that you can see how confusion would be the ally and why they are using this, including violence and including riots, including burning, to their advantage. They are not trying to do things constitutionally. They are trying to do things by any means necessary to gain power. Now, the globalists, and including the communist Chinese, are working also. They're aiding and abetting these other spirits I've mentioned in any way possible. But the spirit that you see working with them is primarily the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, I'm not talking about the Antichrist, I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist, which John also wrote about. And that spirit functioning through these things. Now, I want to add this too, because you haven't heard a lot with all this going on with Antifa and BLM and all this and the Marxism. And of course, they say they're anti-fascist and they're going to kill the fascists. The last one I heard about was a guy that had a prayer hat on, and he was a fascist because he believed in prayer and he was a patriot. Well, he wasn't a fascist. The people that are killing those people are the fascists. They're so stupid they don't even know what they are, and that they are the fascists, and they are the ones that believe in National Socialism, which is Nazism. At any rate, you can see which side the violence is coming from. I heard somebody say, well, you know, we're in a war, and, you know, it may go hot soon. What? I seem to recall an attempt on the entire Republican caucus at a ball game where the socialist leftists tried to kill the entire Republican caucus. That hasn't happened in our history. Almost killed Steve Scalise from Louisiana. Amazing. It might go hot. All the violence has come from the left. And it, again, back to history, that has been the case. You know, the Democrat Party is the party of violence, and it has been for generations. You know, in 1854, there was a new political party that was created. And it was, quote, to prohibit those twin relics of barbarism and polygamy. In other words, that political party was created or birthed for two purposes, to end slavery and to maintain that marriage is biblical between a man and a woman. That was the Republican Party. That was what they were created for. And I don't believe that that should have changed. But even then, as early as 1856, now, again, as I said, the Democratic Party, the violence of it goes back before this. But again, as far as violence towards your neighbor, violence towards other Americans who disagree with your position, you can look it up, but there's a famous situation where Senator Charles Sumner, who had given a speech against slavery and against the whole system of slave owners and owning human beings, he was in his seat in the Senate when Representative Preston Brooks, was a Democrat from South Carolina, came in and without any warning or whatever, came up behind him and began to beat him with his walking stick, with his cane or staff. We would call it a hickory staff or something, and beat him almost to death in the chambers of the Senate until they pulled him off, till others came and pulled him off. Not unlike what happened with Steve Scalise except it was focused on one person, but nevertheless, Steve Scalise almost died. And here you had Preston Brooks beating, you know, Charles Sumner almost to death. Actually, Sumner actually never fully recovered the rest of his life, but he was on a convalescence for over a year to recover from what happened, and nothing ever happened to Preston Brooks. It's sort of what you see today, where you hear people saying, "Do we have two tiers of justice?" It certainly seems like we do, doesn't it? And it does seem like people on the left continually get off free. Continually get off. I mean, they go, they riot, they get put in jail. They might get put in jail. They let them out without bail now. They let them back on the streets. But if you protect your own business or you protect your own family, you may well be looking at jail time. I'm reminded of the couple down there in St. Louis that were protecting their home and property by the mob, no other way to describe it, the mob that broke down the gate into the property, and it wasn't only their property but the whole area, and they protected that with, first the husband came out with his AR-15 and what they call high capacity magazine, but which is reality is normal capacity magazine, which, by the way, a second time now the Ninth Circuit Court has ruled against California's ban on those magazines. And the second time it has ruled that those magazines are protected by the Second Amendment. It'll probably get appealed to the next level, but nevertheless, that's kind of good to see that happening. Because here's an obvious, the critics say, well, what does anybody need a magazine like that? Joe Biden says, why does anybody need a clip that holds 100 clips or something like that. It doesn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, they mean a magazine that holds more rounds or bullets. Well, there's a perfect example. When you have 120 people breaking down the barriers to your property, you might want more than 30. You might want 30 people with 30 each. But anyway, the point was is that the gentleman came out and he said he wasn't expecting his wife to come, but then she came out with a little handgun, which she didn't obviously really know how to really hold. But it goes to prove what George Washington said, was that the mere presence of firearms deters evil. That's a pretty close to a quote. And they deserve a place of honor with all that is good. So you can look up the quote, but that's pretty close. Well, they were arrested. Their guns were confiscated. They're being prosecuted by the Attorney General, who was helped to be placed into office by George Soros and his money and so on, investments. But anyway, as it turns out, one of the guns was a prop. It didn't even function anymore as a actual firearm. And then the AG told the investigators to get it working. That's tampering with evidence. At any rate, it doesn't seem that they'll stop at anything to try to get the honest, everyday people. And that's what this whole thing seems to be about. This whole virus has been, the globalists have advanced their agenda, and the powers that stand up against them, which is small businesses, the average person, the middle class, we have suffered. And that's been their plan, to close down the middle class. I heard here recently that San Francisco has closed down all the gyms, but they have city-run gyms, and they're open. The governor of California, who comes to Montana and doesn't quarantine or whatever, has his own vineyards, as well as Nancy Pelosi and others, which are all functioning and all open for business, but other ones, meaning their competition, have had to shut down. That's nothing but tyranny. And it certainly is at least dual justice. Well, so anyway, back to this history of violence and the current violence you see, there's a good example where this couple saved a lot of damage. They were trying to go to the governor or the mayor that lived in that community is where they wanted to go. But hey, you can't stop when riots are loose. The Democrats have found this out, that once they loose them, they can't control them. You've seen the mayor of Portland tried to march with the rioters. It didn't go so well for him. Remember, the mayor of Minneapolis tried to do that. It didn't go so well for him, because once you grab a tiger by the tail, you can never let go, but you cannot control the tiger, as the old saying goes. The other saying is, once you make a deal with the devil, the deal's done. You know, actually, just a side note, talking about the creation of the Republican Party to stand against polygamy and to stand for marriage as created by God between a man and a woman. Joseph Smith called himself the second Muhammad. So in a sense, bringing it up to date, you know, Muhammadism is what they called it, but we call it Islam. But it's not even Islam itself, because that gets confused with the religion. In reality, Islam, or Sharia, if you want to call it that, or jihadism, is not so much a religion as it is a political system. And it's not compatible with our constitution and our way of life. And our forefathers have known that. When Keith Ellison from Minnesota was elected as the first Muslim to the U.S. Congress, he took his oath of office on the Quran, which was in the Library of Congress, which formerly belonged to Thomas Jefferson. And they were implying that while Thomas Jefferson was open towards, you know, Islam, was open towards, it was totally untrue. Thomas Jefferson had declared war on the Barbary pirates that were Muslims in the Mediterranean because they were attacking American shipping. There's a big point made these days about, well, Morocco was the first country to declare the United States a separate nation from Great Britain. Well, isn't that nice? Well, the reason they did it wasn't because they wanted to recognize the United States as a separate country for our benefit, but because they had a treaty with Great Britain not to attack British ships. So by declaring the United States separate, they could now attack American ships without the British getting involved. And that's exactly what they did. And there was way more white people who were put into slavery in North Africa by the Muslims than ever black people were put into slavery in North America. That's still true today, where there are still places that have communism and Islam still have legal slavery of one form or another. And we ought to join with the initial birthing of the Republican Party and be against slavery at every level in this day and time. At any rate, so that Thomas Jefferson had gotten a copy of the Quran translated into English, which, of course, the Muslims would have said was anathema or blasphemy, because it couldn't be translated from Arabic. It's not supposed to be translated from Arabic. But anyway, he couldn't read Arabic, and he wanted to read the Quran, so he got a copy, which was one of the first ever copies, not inexpensive in its day, so he could read, because he said you needed to understand your enemy. Actually, the war actually began under our second president, which was John Adams. But actually, when the Marines were sent in to Tripoli, that's where this Marine hymn has, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, because it was the first time in the history of our nation that our flag actually flew on foreign lands while we were in battle against the Barbary pirates, the Muslim pirates. And that battle continued right up into World War I. Actually, my favorite movie probably is The Wind and the Lion, which is a story based on true. It's a little bit off, but it's based on the true story where President Theodore Roosevelt sent in the Marines to Morocco because of the last of the Barbary pirates, he called it. But anyway, it's a great movie. But Sean Connery and Candace Bergman and others. Anyway, but that's my favorite. I love it. I probably have the whole thing memorized. At any rate, back to my point here. So we have now Keith Ellison is the Attorney General of Minnesota. So he's the one that decides to let out the 8 minutes of video, which was horrible. Of the George Floyd, but held back the other hour or whatever it was that showed what led up to that horrible incident. But that probably would have helped quell the burning and the destruction that happened. But his purpose is to not build up, but to destroy. And matter of fact, when they began this whole idea of defunding the police, which is to basically make the average person disarmed before the enemies, disarmed before the criminals, and disarmed before the leftist revolutionaries. And what he said was, well, we'll replace the police with Antifa and Muslim militia. Well, why don't we have a Christian militia then? We're back to the Crusades, which were created because of the Muslim militias that kept, quote, militias that the Ottoman Empire that kept invading Christian communities, still happening today around the world, and destroying and having genocide against the Christians. I don't understand why we haven't come to the aid of the Christians in Ethiopia and Nigeria and places like that and helped to arm those people. I can guarantee you that the theory of pacifism stands up less when you're family and villages being attacked by armed Sharia jihadists. And I imagine that those people would wish that somebody would help them. At any rate, back to my thought on Attorney General Ellison. And of course, Elian Omar is from that district that burned there to begin with. And you would think that someone like her would come from the refugee colonies to the United States and be grateful for all that she's had. But no, she and Keith and others like them, their desire is to make America Mogadishu, where the warlords have total control, where the spirit of Antichrist can work through the diatrophies and be in control, and to keep everyone as slaves, to keep, you know, Islam means subdue or enslave. At any rate, but I always try to point out that's a political mindset at any rate. But that's where the whole thing where Thomas Jefferson's Koran copy came from, was that he was learning. It was sort of like Patton reading not only Mein Kampf, but reading Rommel's book on how to do tank warfare. Patton read it, understood the techniques that Rommel used, and then therefore was able to defeat his techniques in North Africa. Well, we're back at that point. And by the way, I want to reiterate, you know, when Donald Trump originally got the Republican nomination back in 2015, actually 2016, whenever it was. I had to struggle with that a little bit, knowing his history. I didn't know a lot about him, but I, you know, he was on TV. I never watched a full episode of any of his shows that I can remember. I always liked that scene in Home Alone 2, though. But at any rate, to me, he was a guy who wasn't very moral and, you know, was able to flaunt his money and so on. But I was concerned because I thought if he got in, that really he could become like another Teddy Roosevelt, and then we might actually have a generation that looked up to him, and they might get the wrong idea when it came to the morals and so on. So I was struggling with that, and I remember asking the Lord for help because it was obviously the Lord was going to be behind him, and the alternative was horrible, deadly for our nation. At any rate, and the Lord gave me a vision, and the vision was Donald Trump wearing George Patton's helmet. General George Patton wearing his helmet, and it was Donald Trump's face. And not only did it dawn on me then that, wow, Trump kind of looks a little bit like Patton. Obviously, he's outlived Patton, but Patton was not a globalist, and that's probably why he was taken out. But nevertheless, pray for the president, because a snake is most dangerous when it's cornered. And the enemy, the Democrat Party, especially when they have been defeated, is when they are even more deadly. Like, that's when John Wilkes Booth decided to make his move. Up till that point, he was a coward. And even when he did act, he thought he was going to be a hero. He did it because he thought he was going to be a hero. Obviously, he wasn't. He was deceived by the devil and made things worse for the South, but also made things worse for the United States of America, because the things that Andrew Johnson did when he became president, being a Democrat, although he was vice president under Lincoln, Lincoln put him in there not hoping he'd become president, but hoping to reach out to the other side to try to bring peace and unity and bring the country back together. But anyway, some of the things that Andrew Johnson did, which is why he was impeached. He wasn't removed, but he was the first president ever to be impeached. At any rate, they can be more dangerous. And Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Meaning wise as a serpent, don't let yourself get cornered. But they are cornered, and the more they feel cornered, the deadlier they become. You got to understand, they don't care about this nation or the people of the nation except how it means power for them. That's the only thing that it means to them. Like Lord Voldemort in Harry Potter, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is only power. That's what I call the motto of the Democrat Party. You have to understand it in light of the Devilcrat Party. Not because there aren't good people who have voted Democrat, but the party has been influenced and overtaken by evil. And, you know, I shared the dream I had a while back. I wrote it up, where the left wing was needing to be replaced. And Rick Joyner had a similar dream. And actually, shortly after that, the prophet Tracy Cook, whom I really wasn't familiar with until recently, but had another very similar dream. It was wrapped, the left wing was wrapped in the American flag like a bandage. It couldn't function, but it was the American flag that was keeping it from doing damage. The American flag representing, I would interpret it to be the American system, or possibly even the American people, were keeping it from doing damage. But in all three of those dreams, the functioning part was the head. It would be the executive. And that was what was threatening in my dream, was what was the threat to the Chinese dragon, was the head. At any rate, back to some of this violence and how they are using it always to attack those who have authority. You remember back a while back when it was Shelley Luther in Dallas, who was a hair salon owner, And she finally said, look, we're going to reopen. Our people can't feed their kids. You know, my employees can't feed their kids. We're going to open. And she was arrested, and she was taken before the judge. And the judge told her, basically, you need to bow down to me. Basically, he said, you need to apologize for being selfish. This is a guy who's getting paid. He's not underfed, and neither is his family. And he's telling a person who unconstitutionally has been shut down that she needs to apologize for being selfish, and thank goodness she didn't do it. I thought it was another Luther taking a stand. I thought that was great. I don't know what it is about hairdressers these days or salon owners, because the more recently that Erica Kaus, I think is how you pronounce her name, but anyway, from San Francisco, hasn't been able to work, and her people haven't been able to feed their families, and yet Nancy Pelosi makes a special appointment for herself and is running around without her mask, you know, which she forces on everybody else, and gets her hair done. And that salon owner released those security videos. These people actually think that the people are going to cover for them forever. Of course, she's been attacked and had death threats, and she knows she'll never be able to reopen in San Francisco, but she's had so many offers to come to other places. You know, Bob Jones's word about when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, that there would be the time of the chief apostles and also harvest in the heartland and a change of heart in America. And we're seeing a change of heart in America. Now, which directions is it going to go is kind of up to us. I'm trying to influence it towards the Lord, and I hope that, pray that that's the way we go. But there's definitely a heart change in America. Harvest in the heartland. Well, if you look at harvest meaning souls, look at it from a natural sense, there is a harvest in the heartland right now, because people are flooding out of these crazy places and into places in the heartland. That is a natural harvest. Now, are we going to harvest souls? We need to. And for instance, as an example, if this Erica moves, and probably will move to one of these other states, the folks that come need to change their thinking. They can't come and just vote the way they've been voting in these blue places. And again, the Civil War in the past, our past Civil War, was blue versus gray, North versus South, okay? Call it free versus slave. Now, people say, well, it's states' rights versus federal, but it would have never been that at all if it wasn't for the fact that there were slaves. At any rate, so North versus South. Well, now it's blue versus red. And the red meaning, you know, the conservative, and the blue meaning the socialists influenced by the communists, with the force behind them of the communists. You know, there was a word that Rick Joyner had a while back, many years ago, about the Civil War in the church was going to be blue versus gray, meaning the blue, the spirit, versus the gray matter, the mind versus the spirit. And that's going on right now. But in the natural, the Civil War is the blue versus red, political. It's actually more than political, however. It's class. It's the elites trying to put down the many. You know, in the past, communist revolutions have been based on the proletariat against the bourgeois. The proletariat meaning the working people versus the bourgeois, the elite, those that have. And that's what's gone all the way back to the French Revolution, which was the first communist revolution. Karl Marx said that the French Revolution was the pattern for all communist revolutions. And the reason all communist revolutions are always violent is because people don't willingly give up what they've worked hard for, which is necessary for communist elitist powers to take over. I thought it was interesting that when the Marxists took over the chop zone of Seattle, which was going to be the Summer of Love until they attacked the mayor's house, then all of a sudden they were domestic terrorists and had to call on the police that she defunded. But I thought it was prophetic. They called it the chop zone because the French Revolution was known by the guillotine, which was a way to end opposition. You know, the guillotine was originally invented by a doctor who wanted to make a painless way to bring criminal justice reform. In other words, when you had capital punishment, to do it quickly so it wasn't painful for the individual. And it was used on those that, at first, those that were the bourgeois, although that is a French word. It was used, coined by more by Karl Marx, at any rate, against the bourgeois. But in the end, as all revolutions do, it turned on itself, and even Robespierre ended up under the guillotine. But I thought it was interesting that more recently I saw where some of the Antifa were carrying guillotines with them in their riots and putting in effigies of police and the president and so on into their guillotines. So they at least know where they are in history, where they fit. You know, I want to say something about the president, Donald John Trump. I said a number of months back, I said his names are significant, and I said I'd talk about it another time. I think that time has come. Donald means world leader. And also, Don is the leader of a family or an extended family. Donald is a world leader. This guy from day one has stood in there as a world leader. He's told NATO, you need to stand up for what you're called to do. You need to start paying your way. He's told the UN that they better stop doing things against our country. That he's told the World Health Organization, he's defunded the World Health Organization as a wing of the Communist Chinese Party, and so on and so forth. But he has been a world leader, whereas we've had previous presidents that haven't been a leader at all. They've just sold off our inheritance to other world leaders and bowed down to them and so on and so forth. Of course, the other one's going to love them for that reason, but they're going to respect someone that stands up. And certainly other world leaders, many of those that are of the Cyrus type, are actually doing the same things as our Donald is doing, and standing up for what's right, and fighting for their own people. And actually, someone like that is respected by a true leader, although those Jezebel types are not going to appreciate a true, strong-willed leader that can't be manipulated and can't be bought off in this case either. And then his middle name is John, which means beloved of God. And his last name, Trump, which means to conquer, to win, or to overcome. Well, we certainly see him. He even said, you're going to get tired of winning. Well, I'm not tired of winning. But the point is that when has he lost? He's had some battles that he's had to fight with one arm tied behind him. He's had to fight things so that others could do their job. You know, this guy tweets and things that people get upset with. But you know what he's doing? His tweets are like a laser dot to a cat to the Democrat Party. And while he sends out those tweets, there are things going on behind the scenes that could have never happened otherwise. Well, he does that, and the media and their lackeys chase after that. He's like, for instance, making us energy independent in less than 2 years. He's allowed, by doing that, he allowed Rick Perry to go out and do his job as the Secretary of Energy to accomplish what the Department of Energy was created to do, which was to make us independent of Middle Eastern oil. And that was created by Jimmy Carter. And yet, in all these years, it hadn't happened, but he was able to do it in 2 years because he got the people off the back of the people doing the work he sent them out to do and taking the heat himself. And he's like, hey, I got strong shoulders, I'll take the heat. And he's been doing that for us. And those forces are focused on him. But keep in mind, you know, he's doing the battle on behalf of us. Now, John, beloved of God. See, here's the thing. John was the beloved disciple or apostle. He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Most cases it was phileo, meaning I was his friend, but in one case it was agape, if I remember right. But nevertheless, he was saying, you know, he loved me in those ways. That's the way John perceived himself in light of his relationship to Jesus. Now, I remember John at first was like wanting to call down fire from heaven. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Now, Donald J. Trump has been calling down fire from heaven a few times when necessary, like on Soleimani and al-Baghdadi. And this is an example of his peacemaking ability to take out the threat instead of putting all a bunch of our people in harm's way, to just use what we taxpayers have paid for with the technology and the weaponry to take out the head of the problem. And, of course, the powers that be, including the powers that be in our own system with the Jezebel spirit, attack him for that. But by doing those things, he has been able to conquer. He has been able to trump the evil, not send pallets of illegal cash in the night to feed the enemy, to be used against us, but to end the threat by cutting off the head of the snake. Amazingly, and he gets attacked for that. But John, beloved of God, see, that's what the people would like Trump to be. They want him to be a nice guy. They want him to be so, you know, like, my children, you know, I have no greater joy than to know that you walk in truth. Remember, that was John when he was a little bit older. Donald Trump is going to be like that. He's going to be able to step into that beloved role, but not until these other things are accomplished. And I think you're beginning to already see him step into that role, but he can't do it prematurely. Matter of fact, I heard one little thing here recently, that at a rally that he did at an airport, they were chanting, instead of USA, USA, they were chanting, "We love you, we love you, we love you." Now, how that's a beginning of a turn in light of the relationship he's going to be able to have with the people. Donald, we need that world leader. We need him to establish himself as a strong world leader. We need him to trump, because look what he's been up against the spirit of Jezebel, which has had its way in our capital for generations now and is not giving up easily. That serpent is not giving up. It's going to have to be beheaded, I think. That left wing is going to have to be taken out and replaced by a new wing. But the beloved of God, when he's able to step into that place of the John, the John is another name for who Jezebel goes after, who the prostitute goes after, is the John. So for him to be John, he has to do it at the right time and not be a John. Does that make sense? Not to be drawn away by the power. This was something the Lord gave me years ago in a dream when I was in, I had just come out of the Congo when I was in Rwanda. But it fits here that he can't prematurely step into that relationship to the nation of John. If he does, he'd be the John, and he'll be able to be attacked and drawn away by the prostitute Jezebel. At any rate, we're going to see all three of those aspects, but the aspect of the world leader has to be established first and foremost, which he's been doing. The Trump and the overcomer, we've been seeing that all along. People don't necessarily like the way he overcomes, but he overcomes. People didn't like the way Patton overcame, but he overcame. The enemy thought that Patton was our number one general, whereas he was the one that kept getting in trouble. And what got him in trouble? His own mouth, primarily, and generally during peacetime. But he won, and he never lost. And so Trump has won, he's never lost. But people get upset about his way of winning. Well, you know what? When your back's against the wall, you're going to fight your way out. And I have to admit, the deep state was much deeper. The swamp was much deeper than I even expected. Back to the situation right now with the election. You have Vice President Joe Biden, who is a shadow of himself, totally run by Jezebel, which you can also see by who he chose as his running mate. The force is there. And it's interesting that Harris, as well as Obama before her, both come from slave trading families. Not slave families, but slave trading families. And yet they come in and they masquerade as, quote, African Americans that have a history of somewhere in their family having had slavery. It's remarkable that these things don't come up, and that the media lets them get away with it. But at any rate, We're not responsible for what our families have done in the past, but those things should be brought up. So, not that they can use a fake history, a masquerading of something in order to gain points now. And you know, to say that white people are guilty of slavery, white people did not invent slavery. It was invented in Africa. It was taken around the world. Every nation of the world had slavery at the time of the United States being founded, or at the time of our revolution beginning. It was white people that ended slavery in the places where it has been ended. Now, to blame someone now because of what their ancestors did is no different than to take a 2-year-old Japanese child and blame them for Pearl Harbor and put them in an internment camp because of what happened at Pearl Harbor. Makes no more sense than to take somebody that, you know, because of the color of their skin, you want to blame them for something that happened years ago. Well, that's where we are. And they want to put us in slavery in the sense of anyone who has the ability to be free, to stand free. So anyway, back to the vice president who's running against our president. And whereas President Trump has been telling Joe Biden that he needs to disavow the violence and the riots, Vice President Biden turns around and says that the president needs to disavow these militias. What? Last I looked, the First Amendment allows for people to peaceably assemble and to petition their government for redress of grievances. That's legal. The Second Amendment says, in part, that a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of a free state. Therefore, the right of the people, not the right of the militia, to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We have never seen in our lifetime the great need and usefulness of a militia, meaning the militia is those who are not in the military, standing up and protecting property rights and people's lives. People die in places where they have not risen up, the public has not risen up and protected their lives and their property. In the places where the public has risen up and protected their lives and property, whether it be the couple on their front steps in St. Louis, or whether it be the people of Kenosha that stood up, violence goes down when they stand up. And where those things don't happen, these cowards come up and just murder people. And then they're saying, you're violent if you don't let them burn down your home or property or hurt your family. It's their warped mind. Isaiah calling that which is good evil and evil good. But back to the Democrat Party, they originated the first laws against the Second Amendment in our country, which happened after the Civil War. First, the roots of attacks on the right to keep and bear arms are racist, because it was the Southern Democrats that passed laws to keep freed black Americans from exercising their full constitutional rights. And that continued right up whenever it could, right up until the last I knew of it was when Clinton was president. Bill Clinton, a Southern Democrat who instituted laws through HUD, which is where primarily HUD housing is where minorities live, and instituted laws or regulations that if you wanted to live in HUD housing, you couldn't exercise your Second Amendment rights. Well, that's Jim Crow, which the Democratic Party invented. So anyway, the roots of the attacks on our right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment are in racism, but also they are in the Democrat Party's desire to riot and to control. The second place where you saw this happen after the South was in New York, where the Democrat socialist riots, especially through the longshoremen and so on, were trying to keep people from working unless they would join them. People that didn't want to join them, wanted to work, then would be attacked. But they would exercise their Second Amendment rights. They would stop the violence by arming themselves. So the Democrat thugs there got laws passed in New York that you could not carry without permits, which a lot of the people couldn't afford, that were wanting to go to work and so on. So in other words, the first place that limited the Second Amendment in our country was the Democrats of the South, and the second place was the Democrats of the North. And in both cases, it was so they could disarm people in order to control those people. Things have not changed. That's why they want to lock up the people who protect their property, but they let the rioters go free, because the rioters are their horsemen. The rioters are their brown shirts. The militia of the left is Antifa and BLM. And as Keith Ellison said, he wants to replace the police with Antifa and Muslim militia. That should send chills down your spine. Again, you haven't heard a lot about Islam, but it's working hand in hand and hand in glove with the left right now in order to establish itself in a, not in a religious sense, but in a political and authority military sense within the walls of our nation. In reality, you know, as we're approaching September 11th, you know, back to when these lockdowns, quote, were beginning to happen, never heard of them before, and back in this April, March, whenever it was, March or April, I can't remember exactly when they began, but I saw how the Democratic governors were saying, well, we're going to have a lockdown until July 6th, I remember the governor of Oregon said. July 6th? Why not July 3rd? It's just an arbitrary date. Well, first of all, I couldn't understand why would they have one that long when they were supposed to only go for 2 weeks. But immediately when I saw that, I said, well, this is an attack on America. This is an attack on patriotism. To have it on the 6th, not the 4th or the 3rd, you know, so that people could celebrate. Now, I don't know right now, because I've been out of the loop, where things are leading up to the celebration of September 11th in New York. But last I heard, they were going to cancel the two beams of light because, well, we just wouldn't want to put the people who would turn on those lights in jeopardy of getting the virus. Well, if masks work, let them put on a mask before they plug in the lights. Anyway, I heard people might be standing up against that. I hope they do. But again, it's an attack on patriotism. It's an attack on unity, things that unify us. Because patriotism will win. Matter of fact, Rick Joyner has written on this and has a book that talks about the coming American Civil War slash Revolution, Revolution slash Civil War. And the Lord said, it's coming, it's inevitable, and it's necessary, and patriotism will win the day. They have to attack patriotism because it will win the day. Now, this is interesting. Again, back to Joe Biden telling the president he should disavow the militias and call down the militias, meaning the militias must be headed up by Donald Trump. Well, the whole thing about a militia, it's not headed up by the federal government. That's why we have militias, because one of the greatest threats might be the government. In this case, it's more state governments than it is the federal government, but that's because of the marshal, who the marshal is. Remember, at any rate, I thought it was interesting that Trump was asking Biden to call down or condemn the rioters, and Biden turned around and said he needs to condemn the militias. The militia is the everyday person, the average person. Now, in Kenosha recently, I don't know where it is right now because, like I said, I've been out of the loop, but there was a 17-year-old lifeguard named Kyle Rittenhouse. I used to be a lifeguard when I was 17 and 18. I could probably relate to him. he was probably a lot more coordinated than I was at that age with his firearm. I didn't own a firearm or have access to one in those days. But here was a gentleman who got off work and was asked by a friend or a neighbor to help protect business, private business. The business they were protecting The person that owned that business owned three businesses, and two of them had been burned down. And they said, "Come, would you come and help and protect this, my last business that's in existence?" Not only did this kid come with others, but you know, he came to help out. You know, and there's interviews with him that were recorded before they, you know, he became a national figure. And he was just such a great kid. And he was like, we're going to protect lives and property. But I'm also here, I have my first aid kit. You know, he's a lifeguard, he's been trained. I have a first aid kit. If any riders get hurt, not by them, but by any means, that we'll help them out. You know, we're here to help. But we're going to stop any violence against people or property. Well, anyway, in the course of the events that night, he got separated from his people because of the attacks of the rioters. And as he has a right to self-defense, he protected himself against armed attackers that wanted to do him bodily harm or death. And he ended up shooting three. I thought he was remarkably, how would I say it? I thought he was remarkably accurate in how he reacted to the situations and tried to get out of the way, tried to get apart from them until somebody tripped him, and then when he went down. But he had, as it turns out, two of the three people that he shot were convicted pedophiles. Think of this. Convicted pedophiles who have armed themselves and are attacking a minor, and the minor protects himself defensively against them, and two of them are gone. Why were they out on the street anyway? They should have been kept away from minors. But here's this young man, and so they put him in prison. I was glad to see he immediately got representation, but this is what's going on. They'll let the rioters out. They'll let the evil prevail. But here's a guy who's protecting himself and protecting others, has a good heart, and yet he shows how efficient you can be, even in defense, if you have the proper tools. I have faith that he'll get out, and not only that, but be a folk hero in the end. But I had the thought about Kyle Rittenhouse, his name. So I looked it up. One of the meanings of Kyle is to conquer. And the meaning of Rittenhouse means from the marsh or from the swamp. Kyle Rittenhouse can be interpreted to mean to conquer that which has come out of the swamp. I believe, just like I see in Donald John Trump, some insight, spiritually speaking. I see some insight, spiritually speaking, in Kyle. That this man, Donald John Trump, has been fighting the swamp, but the swamp goes deeper than we ever imagined. And the swamp creatures are coming out from Washington and other places, and they're revealing themselves in the highways and byways, in the heartland. And here you have a young man, same age as some of those guys that stood up at Lexington and Concord, that stood up at Breed's Hill and Bunker Hill and those other places that stormed Normandy on D-Day. Here you have a young man standing up, and his name means to conquer the swamp, or that which has come from the swamp. I think it's remarkable. Again, these are things that help me to pray, and I hope they'll help you to pray also. Well, I'm not sure if there was I'm not sure if there's other things that I was going to share or not. That's just what I can remember that was on my mind. I'd like to end with this though, because as I'm down in the currently in the deserts of Nevada right now, but it's leading up towards. You'll hear this after the 9/11, after September 11th, but at the moment it's leading towards September 11th, and I'd like to share this verse, Amos 9:11. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and repair the damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. It's interesting that it was the tabernacle of David that the Lord said he was going to raise up again. Not the tabernacle of Moses, not the temple of Solomon, but the tabernacle of David, and we are parts of that, being joined together and built into a habitation of God by the Spirit. And we should recognize that even in the natural, the things that the devil is tearing down, that if we're faithful to the Lord, and if we'll stick with Him, He's going to rebuild it, but make it better than it was before, that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." He was talking about the temple of His body. But His body, nowadays, is manifested as the tabernacle of David being built up and being restored from days of old. Remember, we know less about the tabernacle of David, of what it looked like and the dimensions and all that, than we do about Solomon's temple, than we do about Moses' tabernacle, because the body is more fluent. But there's 24-hour praise and worship. And David was a warrior and a worshiper. And back to that prophecy of Heidi Baker, where she saw the vision of the people dressed nicely in nice vehicles, in lines, soup lines and food lines, to get food and soup because of the change that happened suddenly. But then she saw warriors becoming worshipers and worshipers becoming warriors. It's time that we get a warrior mindset. Now, we also should have a worshiper mindset. We certainly should be beyond a warrior mindset. At any rate, that's my thoughts for now. I hope you enjoyed this, and just keep us in prayer at FlintNet, and we certainly pray for you. Appreciate you a lot.
Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.